everyone, and welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts on it because we wrote a book about it called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Professional Wrestling. If you'd like to purchase that book or read some of the pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post or Slate or Vice or U.S. News and World Reports, just go to presidentwrestler.com. This episode was originally recorded during the Democratic National Convention. I was in Philadelphia and Chris was in Washington, D.C. So it's a little time capsule of an interesting era that, and I don't know if you guys remember this, things didn't turn out how everyone thought, so it's interesting to listen back. To hear more current episodes, go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/gabpod for Great American Bash Podcast. So once again, it's facebook.com/gabpod, and you could find everything there. Without further ado, here is episode 4 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Welcome to The Great American Bash. This is Chris Kelly recording from Washington, D.C.
It's Brandon Weatherby, and I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, host city of the Democratic National Convention, covering the Democratic National Convention.
Tell me about the DNC so far. It's Wednesday, about 1 o'clock, so you're 2 days, there's been 2 days of DNC so far.
So far, okay. The actual convention is a few different things. So the speeches and what you see in the arena for the Democratic Party after last night, I think it's going exactly how they wanted it to go. In terms of logistics of the event itself, real bad. If you've ever been to Philadelphia, you'll know that where the basketball stadium is and the hockey stadium and the football stadium and the baseball stadium, that's all in one section, right? And there's not a lot of stuff around there. So the convention center, which is a few miles away, is where all the daytime stuff is. So if you want to participate in actual conversations about substance and maybe learn something and maybe talk to a pollster or a politician or a Bernie supporter or a Hillary supporter, you're miles away from the actual arena. Now, if you want to be in the arena, that's great. And then you're stuck in the arena all day. Philadelphia is a horrible city to have a convention.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the nightmare. Whereas it seemed like the RNC stuff logistically, maybe surprisingly, went a little smoother.
I cannot think of one way to improve Cleveland, and after going to both of these, I think that the answer is mid-sized cities. Philadelphia is too big. There's too much going on. It's an actual good city. There's no reason not to come to Philly. Or Cleveland, you need a reason to go to Cleveland. The RNC was the perfect reason to go to Cleveland. A Cavs championship, perfect reason to go there. I feel like it should be in mid-sized cities like New Orleans, maybe a Memphis, maybe a Nashville, something that's all condensed into one area. But Philly's just too big and too old and too historic and spread out, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, you think of just what it would have been at DNC, not even for the political reasons, but to do it in Baltimore, where you've got two stadiums in walking distance, a convention center in walking distance, an arena in walking distance, all downtown.
Yep, Baltimore
versus
would have been perfect.
Philly,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, because also you can easily get all of the press corps to commute home every night, and it's not a big deal. Unlike here, where 2.5 hours is a little bit too much. Most of the people I know are staying in Jersey. I was hanging out with a Reuters reporter. She's staying 50 minutes away in Jersey. A lot of people are staying in Delaware. This just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. But while you've been traveling around from Cleveland to Chicago to Philly, I was holding down the fort here in D.C. so that I could go to WWE Battleground at Verizon, which we talked about last time. I had a hell of a time. I was in the VIP box. They had plenty of free Steve Weisers. And great sight.
Did they really? Did they really have free beer?
Yeah. It's in a VIP.
Oh, hell
box.
Yeah.
You just get,
hell yeah.
You get a buffet and you get a fridge full of beer.
What kind of food do they have?
Yeah.
Like your standard like chicken, or do they like rename everything?
Yeah.
Like the Randy Orton snake
no,
bites
nothing
or like
cute.
Chicken poppers or something like that. All right.
Yeah, you should get into food marketing. No, they didn't. They just had chicken and hot dogs with no branding. Some missed opportunity.
If I
there.
Was the WWE, I would rebrand everything in my arena. The Kevin Owens blank. Anything that's high calorie and possibly fried. Just the Kevin Owens hot dog. The Kevin Owens nachos. That's it. You don't do anything different.
Why must you fat shame Raw star Kevin Owens?
No, this is just a rumor. I cannot prove it, but a mutual friend of the show and Kevin Owens said the most recent time Kevin Owens was in Chicago, he ate the most food of everyone and then told our mutual friend, I don't need to worry about my weight. They love me right now. So it's not necessarily a fat shame. It's more like a fat praising of Kevin Owens.
That's right. This would be a good opportunity. You need to go find the WCW Nitro Grill menu, where basically they had a grill. I want to say it was in Orlando, like where they taped and stuff. And they had the Booker T-Bone and the Big Sexy Porterhouse and the Chocolate Power Bomb. And all these things actually existed. Brawny beverages, Jackhammer Java, yeah.
Oh,
it's, it was Vegas, actually. It was Vegas. And it was where the big boys eat. Because WCW is the biggest joke of all time.
It's great.
Yes.
Did you ever go to the WWF, I think it was at the time, like a cafe or whatever in Times Square? Yeah.
No, I've never. During my fandom, I never made it there.
We got to revitalize all these places and just the unified WCW. We'll get TNA involved, do some Nashville barbecue. It'll be great.
A lot of, grills and bars with wrestlers. What could possibly go wrong? So the Battleground pay-per-view, I just, from the wrestling point of view, hell of a show. We had a lot of fun. They did everything right, so rare. Bayley debuting with Sasha Banks. The six-man tag, getting Enzo a promo where he gets to say, "You can't Washington, D.C. me." Having Dean go over Reigns and Rollins. Reigns, who was getting booed mercilessly the entire night, anytime he would be mentioned or show up on the Titantron. So, yeah, it was just a good show. Were you able to watch any of it?
I watched the whole thing. I watched some of it live while I was doing some work hiding from a lovely wedding party. That's nothing to do with my family. They're lovely people. It's just sometimes you want to watch Sasha Banks be amazing, so she had to leave.
Yeah.
I watched, as soon as I saw the tweets about Bayley, I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, I had to do work that night anyway, so I went to do work just so I could rewind to watch the Bayley entrance, and I was very glad that I did. Very happy that happened. I totally saw it coming. I don't know if she's main roster, though. Is she?
No, she's not. They stressed on the commentary and then the next day, too, that it was a one-off. It sounds like it's a one-off for now so that they can finish that women's storyline, which we'll get to in a bit. The Roman, I think it really crystallized for me with Roman Reigns being booed and losing and taking the pin on Sunday night as he comes back from his 30-day suspension for a wellness violation, that Roman Reigns is Hillary Rodham Clinton. He gets booed because he got pushed by an establishment, and that caused resentment, which we'll get to that in a bit. And then he did some shady stuff that wasn't really that bad in the scheme of things, or stuff that, generated bad headlines, but, his peers have done stuff that's much worse. That's really where the comparison ends for me. Because he is no longer going to be the number one star going forward. That became clear on Monday night, whereas Hillary Clinton became our first nominee for president. So on Monday night began the new era of WWE in earnest.
Are we doing that? Do we have to say that?
It's a new era trademark. No, actually, but they did, for all they kept saying it, and, they've been beating that drum of it's a new era, it's a new era. But they actually delivered. Raw has a new logo that's horrible, but it has a new logo, has a new set, new theme song. They're doing some new camera angles. They've got the commentators not at ringside. Even the style of the show is a little different. You've got more promos, kind of different style, maybe old school promos in between matches. We got jobber squashes of, local talent just getting murdered in the ring. I actually thought it was Raw was better than SmackDown, but I think they're both going actually in the right direction where they're actually listening to the fans. What did you think of Raw this week?
I absolutely loved both products. I love that Renee Young is now going to be part of every week of programming. That's great. I love that I'm going to have a reason to watch SmackDown. If anything, all of this has done is just made me realize, like, boy, 3 hours of Raw is a really long time. And it's weird because I usually watch the condensed Hulu version, which is still only 90. And then SmackDown, when it's cut down on Hulu, is only like 120. but it, I'm sorry, it's 80 minutes. It doesn't feel as long, even though it's about the same amount of time.
That's a strange one, yeah. I watch, because I'm a masochist, and also because I edit these things down, I do watch the full thing. Or I skim, but I know where to skim in those things. But, yeah, SmackDown, yeah, I don't know if it was as, the Raw actually felt pretty quick for me, even though it's 3 hours. It didn't,
well,
which is
we should
a good
talk,
show.
In addition to, like, the quality of the new presentation, which we both are in agreement on, and I want to point out that when we did our Rumble recap for the first one ever, they're now calling from where Gorilla and Jesse used to call from.
Right. Good. Yeah. No, it's an old school move where they're not ringside. They're kind of above.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
The show. Yeah.
It makes the arena seem smaller, which is a good thing, especially now that your main guy on Raw is one of your main guys is going to be a guy that's brand new, and we're used to seeing him in NXT in small arenas. So transitioning to that look with Finn makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and that new guy would be Finn Balor, making his Raw debut finally, winning two matches, and the second one to close the show over Roman Reigns. On his 35th birthday, he becomes the number one contender for their new WWE Universal belt.
Wait a second, did you just say 35?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Not exactly the young talent, not necessarily, it's a new era for him, but he is 35.
How does, Finn looks amazing!
Yeah, I don't know, maybe, you know, being in Japan is better than being at TNA, because, you know, AJ's 39, I don't think he looks that bad, but he looks his age.
No, AJ looks his age, where I was. Yeah. I thought Finn was like 25, I thought he started wrestling as like a 10-year-old or something, it's crazy.
He was doing math wrong the whole time, no, and that's why I think they have some confidence, even though he is, you know, older for an athlete or a sports entertainmentist. They're going to get a few years of him at the top. Yeah, and to circle back on the Roman Quinton comparison, yeah, he did lose clean, which to Finn, which doesn't really happen. But I think the push is finally over this 2-year experiment, and it's, everybody's better for it. I think Roman Reigns will be able to come back face or heel, and when he's, you know, not being pushed as the top guy.
You know what's good about the new way they're calling these things is now even when you lose clean, because of the post-match interview, you get to say something right away. And I think that Roman came off really well in his post-match little interview. This is so dumb. After his clean loss to Finn, he's like, I respect that dude. Like, that makes him come off as not like a – like, he's still not a heel, clearly, based on what he said. But
right.
He accepted defeat well, and what do you want from this man? Like, come on, he's giving you everything he can. The substance he got popped on is bullshit that most of the people we know abuse. It's not fair. I'm not saying, like, Roman deserves better, but just, like, what are you watching this for? You just want to boo a pretty man? Is that, so now you got a smaller pretty man to boo instead of a big pretty man? What's the deal? He's fine.
Yes, and he will be fine, you know, in the upper mid-card or wherever he is from now on. The big story, though, at Raw would be Sasha Banks versus Charlotte for the belt, and actually winning it on Monday Night Raw, when I think most fans expected there to be a blow-off of their feud at SummerSlam and have her big moment then. And instead, they make the decision to, you know, show that you actually do have to watch Raw and that shit happens on free TV. And she won, you know, with no interference. And in a great little match where they are both taking extraordinary risks.
Oh, my gosh.
Charlotte doing a moonsault where she landed on her feet. So that would be a backflip from the turnbuckle to the ring, and then also a moonsault to the outside. Sasha took a dive, a suicide dive, which is aptly named. She went through, kind of bent, like hit head first and bent her body back. It was really reminiscent of this. One of the biggest women's matches ever on Raw was Trish Stratus versus Lita, where Lita won the belt, and she did a very similar dive, and it's a miracle that either of them walked away from those dives. She had a little tribute to Eddie Guerrero in a move I believe we must have seen in one of our WrestleManias, the lie cheat deal where he part of his gimmick where he would, you know, toss a chair to his opponent when and then the ref would turn around and you know, catch them in the act. She was able to get rid of her Dana Brooke from the match. But yeah, just a hell of a match. And while that was happening, while I'm watching this, you know, on the other screen is Michelle Obama speaking at the DNC in probably the best speech that we're going to see at either of these conventions?
I don't know about that. The Michelle speech for sure was the best speech of Monday night, no question. But I don't know if you saw President Clinton last night. I was in the room for that one. He owned that room. And also the Mothers of the Movement. Oh, I don't know how you could. I teared up multiple times during that. It was a little less than 10 minutes, but oh boy, that sure it wasn't as traditional speech, but in terms of moving,
right?
Oh my God. Anyways, yeah, it's very interesting the way they programmed that, and it would not be surprising at all to me if they're following trends, because honestly, the WWE was bigger last week than the RNC in terms of Twitter trends, and they really care about that stuff. The DNC did get a lot more viewers than the RNC on night one, but it would not be surprising to me if at the time of Sasha Banks' title change, she and Michelle were both like the top trending topics on Twitter. And if it was fantastic planning, I would also like to point out that the night Dean Ambrose won the WWE Championship was the night that Cleveland won. So you got two Ohio guys, and then you got two black women getting the belts on the same night. It's very interesting if this is planned. I don't know if it's planned. We might be giving up too much credit. They could have just wanted a great match on Raw for their new era or whatever. Oh, God. Oh, that's the term.
Yeah, you just eat it up. What a mark.
It would not be surprising if someone in gorilla position was like, hey, let's capitalize on this. And they did, and well-deserved on everyone's good job, Michelle. Good job, Sasha. Good job, Dana. Good job, Charlotte. You all followed the script.
Everyone followed their script.
It was amazing. Obviously, if you want to convince someone that doesn't really like wrestling to watch a match, I would maybe start with this one. Because, A, it's current. It doesn't pander to sexist tropes. There's a lot of nods to previous stuff. There's a lot of nods to the Attitude Era because of the Eddie stuff. But it's not like Ric Flair's kissing a girl to prevent his daughter from losing the belt. Like, it's not as bad as it's been. And I would say it's actually not bad at all. Now, as soon as I say this and this comes out, we're going to find like, oh, you forgot about that comment from Cole or something. But as of now, so great. And also, I would like to point out that in Michelle Obama's speech, there was not one mention of WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, and that definitely seemed, you know, to try to keep them above the fray, and as part of the speech, you know, when they go low, we go high. So definitely interesting use of that time to not be, you know, not go up and be attacked, though, just make a really good speech. So speaking of Trump, you know, as we talked about last time, his entrance at the RNC on right before Melania spoke really looked like the Undertaker's entrance. And then this weekend on Meet the Press, that was one of the first things they talked about.
I got to ask you about your entrance before we get serious here. Huh? That Monday night entrance was something else. I know you've gotten a lot of feedback on it.
Well, I think we got a little bit lucky, and a couple of people had that idea, and I went along with the idea, and everything just worked right. And it was so good that they wanted to do it on Thursday night. I said, never in a million years, because you'll never get it that way again.
I don't think I've seen that even on WWE.
Yeah, I know. Well, Vince is a good friend of mine. He called me. He said that was a very, very good entrance. But I didn't want to do it a second time because, you know, it never works out the second time.
So we get Trump's explanation of why he went with American Badass Taker on the second time. Makes a lot of sense.
Last night, Undertaker's important, maybe the most important wrestler for the longest most important wrestler in the WWF and WWE. But the most popular wrestler of all time, especially since Hulk Hogan no longer exists, is Stone Cold Steve Austin. So Hillary Clinton decided to open a can of whoop-ass at the DNC and shattered a glass ceiling. It was blatant Stone Cold. It was amazing.
For the people who didn't see it, and won't be able to see it because it's a podcast and a video, but yeah, just a montage of all the faces of the presidents and then kind of making them into a mosaic and then a animation that shatters that glass of the mosaic and revealing Hillary to make some remarks. I mean, that was even more so, I think, than the Taker thing. Because, yeah, you could have a smoke machine and lights, but, like, that's a very specific visual. And sure, it works with, you know, rhetorically, but yeah, that one's already been edited as well on the internet to include the glass shatter sound effect.
They're both great. Regardless of the side of the aisle you're on, you got to give credit where credit's due. And yeah, you should always use the Undertaker and Stone Cold whenever you can. You're going to get a pop.
Yeah, that's a winning solution to be a face.
Oh, so good.
The big stories out of the first couple days of the DNC have revolved around the leak around the DNC emails. It was revealed that, you know, there were some people at the DNC who were working, you know, in some way against Bernie to either, you know, planning to maybe reveal or leak that he was an atheist. Some things that basically talking about things that they never actually did. But for Bernie or bust supporters, for Bernie himself, you know, that was proof that what they had been saying, that the DNC was working against them. At first, I didn't think that the head of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, was going to have to resign, but she fell on the sword and stepped down and hasn't really. I don't think she's appeared at the convention since the Florida delegation breakfast that she was booed at.
That is correct. She will not be appearing at the convention. And this is a little fun little theory I got here. I have a press badge, and on every single press badge it says Debbie Wasserman Schultz, DNC chair. I wonder if I'm not joking. If they she will not resign until Sunday, simply so they didn't have to reprint every single ticket that they issued.
Right.
Seriously, think about this. There's absolutely no reason for her not to just resign. They already kind of have an interim DNC chair.
Yeah.
Why did she not actually resign? Not until Sunday. She's not doing anything at the convention. There's an interim chair, but she's officially the chair until Sunday. Why?
Right.
Now, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing is total Hulk Hogan. Like, just will not lay down for anybody, even though you don't need to. You're still the biggest person here. You don't need to do this. Bernie, it doesn't matter if Bernie's an atheist, number one, to his supporters, so that's not going to hurt him. Number two, Bernie's not even a fucking Democrat. He's an independent. Yesterday, Monday, he said, yeah, I'm still going to caucus because as an independent, I was never a Democrat, yet he was in the race. So if you're Bernie, good for Bernie. Like, if you're one of those supporters, good for you. You got in the door, but Debbie just would not fucking take a pin, even though as soon as you take a pin, it's fine. It'll be over very soon. You're still going to own Pasta Mania in Orlando. Don't worry about this. But she just wouldn't. She got it in her head that everyone was out to get her. No one was out to get her. Relax, man. That's Hulk Hogan. That's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Both of them, it didn't end well. It did not end well for either. That being said, maybe Hulk Hogan gets $160 million for fucking his friend's wife. I don't know. We'll find out. Debbie just got it in her head. And yet again, I think it's that Florida water. No offense.
Thanks a lot. None taken. Yeah, and now the DNC email leak and hack looks to be coming from Russia. That's where even Obama in an interview has suggested that it would be Russia. It links up with a report about a month ago that Russia had hacked the DNC. And so Donald Trump has commented on it.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
The Republican nominee for president just asked a foreign nation to commit espionage on his opponent. Which I think is the first time that's happened. That's what the Clinton campaign has suggested. Just a kind of like another, you know, mind-blowing statement from Trump that in the long line of them. And great way to get heat, but as we've seen, probably not a great way. Probably not a great way to actually affect his chance of being president.
Whatever. I mean, the guy challenged the Pope and won. So why would this be different?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, but it is definitely the story du jour. Kind of reminded me of when Rusev and Lana were first coming up a couple years ago in the WWE, and Lana dedicated a match to Vladimir Putin.
Tonight we dedicate this match to the most powerful man in the world. Tonight, we dedicate this match to the man that makes fools out of all of you Americans. Tonight, we dedicate this match to the man that I respect more than any other. He is my role model. He is my idol. The president of Russia. Vladimir Putin.
got the USA chance, and then he went out and squashed Xavier Woods and R-Truth in a handicap match. They did eventually. They've toned that down. Now he's just Bulgarian Brute. They've cut back on the Russia stuff, I think, wisely.
Do you think that if... Okay, what if there's an international Republican convention? Does Putin come out in a tank, or does Trump come out in a tank?
I would say a Dukakis move. Put Trump in the tank.
You don't think Rusev has owned the tank move? You think it's still Dukakis' thing?
In the public consciousness, yes. I think the presidential candidate who did it is probably more well-known than the Bulgarian wrestler who did it, unfortunately.
I don't know if you're right about that.
I'm going to do some Google trends analysis and get the stats on this.
I'm going to go with everyone under 35 either doesn't know the tank, or if they know a tank, it's Rusev.
So as far as the other speeches we've seen or the ones coming up, any other thoughts on the DNC?
I do think that Bill did a bang-up job, and too many false finishes, though. Multiple times I thought he was going to lose it and go off script. I had another position that I like to – when I'm on the floor, I realize I'm very lucky to be there, but just watching it seems kind of stupid because you could just watch it on TV. So I like to position myself where I could see the prompter as he speaks. So I could tell when he goes off script. And you could do that at home. It's a little bit different in the arena. And I really like seeing that because, like I said, a bunch of times he kept adding stuff that he knew he would get tops for. But he would also say stuff that could have gone awry. And that was very interesting. I'm obviously excited to hear tonight with the president. I'm obviously excited to hear Biden. I'm excited to hear Hillary. That being said, I'm not as jazzed about the main event. I'm way more excited to hear President Obama than Canada Clinton.
Right.
It's some bad booking here, but I get it. I mean, you gotta push the guy. I get it.
Yeah, that also would be the opinion, I think, of some of the photo editors at major newspapers in the U.S. who – kind of seemingly everybody ran a picture of Clinton or Bernie with accompanying their headline of Hillary Clinton becoming the first woman nominee. Kind of proving the point right there. Kind of proving the glass shatters intro. But
I know.
Still work to be
here's
done.
The thing, though. Here's the thing. If Hillary shows up last night and it's not pre-taped, Hillary's on the cover. I mean, just as a visual, I understand. I do think that there are better ways to do it. But I kind of... Listen, I already wrote something today. It's up on Brightest Young Things. It just went up about that, and there's a little note about that, and it's inherently sexist. But I don't completely believe what I wrote simply because, like, she wasn't there, you know? It's not good. It's definitely not good.
It's not great. I think there was ways around. I think I saw something that looks like in later runs of the Wall Street Journal, they did change it to a picture of her on the big screen after the glass shattered.
Why not just
like a simple enough... Which seems like a simple enough thing. Yeah. It just seems like one of those things that people have been saying. And
it's why can't Bill be her valet? You know.
I'm trying to think if there's been a man who was the valet for one. I want to say, did we see that at a WrestleMania where Stevie Richards was like the valet for like Victoria or something?
I'm going through the list.
It's rare.
There's been a lot of couples, but that doesn't really count. I mean, like when Sherry and Macho Man were together, Macho really wasn't her valet.
Right. I think it happened. I'm trying to find. He had an alliance with Victoria in 2002. He often helped her retain the women's championship. So that would be the first time that Stevie Richards and Victoria have ever been compared to Bill and Hillary Clinton.
That we know of.
But, you know, it could happen. Yeah, someone who did also like the speech was Hall of Famer, hardcore legend Mick Foley, who tweeted at 10:47 last night that as a parent, just watching Chelsea Clinton while her father, Bill Clinton, speaks is touching and inspirational. And 15 minutes later, had to tweet that in the spirit of unity, I thought W's daughter ditching her security detail to watch WWE at the Garden was touching and inspirational, too. not sure if that last one counts as touching and inspirational, but a good job of Mick trying to be bipartisan, judging by the responses he got for that first tweet. I guess he tried to do a little damage control out there.
I think Mick is a more he's a feminist more than any or Democrat than Republican. He's very, very open about his views on that. He's a big fan of Sasha Banks. And I have a good feeling that that's another reason why she got her push. So it's not at all surprising
that anything involving strong women appeals to Mick Foley, and it is not at all surprising that anything with strong women that happen to be Democrats is not appealing to most of the WWE universe.
Yeah, good on it Mick. Makes sense, but yeah, good on Mick. And it is, you know, he is in that position where generally the WWE wrestlers, like at least guys under contract, not supposed to talk about politics, or if they are, they're to be bipartisan. We saw that with, you know, Dolph Ziggler covering both conventions, kind of seeing him, not making direct allusions to his political stance. Even people, you know, even having black or openly gay wrestlers make comments on it, they kept it to a basic, like, rock the vote, just get out there and vote message. So it is interesting to see someone who now is going to be on the program every Monday night getting a little political. Kind of interesting.
Right.
I'm curious how
it.
That changes as we get down the final stretch here after the convention.
I think that Mick is a little bit more willing to take some vitriol than Jerry the King Lawler, who tweeted out support for Trump early on. I think it was one of the first primaries, and he got some death threats, and he stopped after that. I don't think Mick's going to get any death threats. I don't think Mick will care, though, as well. I do think Mick will play both sides of the aisle. Mick is also not a Hillary supporter. He was on Dave's Iron Show not too long ago and talked about it, and he is pretty bipartisan. Most of these guys lean libertarian anyways. I'd say the only one that's probably pro-Hillary is John Cena, but that's it.
You're right, and even that, he hasn't come out and said anything explicitly about the election.
But he has hosted the Today Show multiple times and has said he does not like Trump. He all has bought endorsed.
That's true. So we have got two more days of the convention. Well, you have two more days. I get to watch NXT and the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't know what to do with my Thursdays. I guess I'll watch the convention now that there's no matchup. So we'll
there's
probably
so much
catch up.
Wrestling.
There's so much wrestling. These weeks with pay-per-views, now there's going to be – they did announce on SmackDown Live that there will be – I'm doing the brand, too. There will be – on 9/11, there will be a pay-per-view called Backlash. I'm just going to put that out there. And, they're going to start their brand new pay-per-views. So every 2 weeks, there will be wrestling on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. My wife is going to be a wrestling fan. She's starting to do more of like your life and not be really. But we will catch up at the end of the week and kind of grade the convention and catch up on the world of politics and wrestling.